Heavenly Father, we thank you for your favor. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kingdom here today. We thank you for the leadership that you have given us in the Lehigh Valley and Pastor Rhonda, Brother Gary. We thank you for victory on all sides. Father, open up our ears that we may hear you. Open up our eyes that we may see you. Loose the shackles off of our feet and hands that we may move in your direction for you. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We praise you above all. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, amen. You know, this is a message, and I God had put such a burden on my heart to share. We're going to have Bible study on Wednesday. Whatever we don't get through today, we'll just continue it there. But it's interesting that you took a video, Pastor Rhonda. Thank you for sharing all the pictures. As you were showing the pictures, I actually saw myself there. And I actually saw in the pictures, I saw the grandiosity of just what has been established there. And Brother Joel Osteen, his father, they and his mother, they had a vision. And God has established them mightily. And no one can question that. Isn't that right? And the Bible says what God is, what door he's opened, no man can shut. So what God showed me is that we're to see ourselves just like he has established them. We're to see ourselves established even now that way in his word. And today's message is the cost of your victory is your voice. The cost of your victory is your voice. You took a video, it was 22 seconds, and it was very interesting because he was closing out, but he says a scripture. Anybody know where that scripture was that he mentioned? Joel Osteen? That's right, Hebrews 11:6. He said that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And before it says impossible to please God without what? Faith. Without faith. So today's message is about faith. Today's message is about the only way to please God. The only way to please God is faith. But understand this. Faith, the goal of faith, is your victory. That's it. God gave us faith for your victory. The cost of your victory is your voice. God operates through voice. There's no other way he operates. God commands, and everything he creates falls in line with the instruction of the command. Before I go into the message, I'd like to first give you a picture of what the Word of God says about victory. Victory is the promise that God has given to us. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Now I'm going to go over a couple scriptures. I'm speaking to your spirit. So I'm sharing this with you from my spirit to your spirit. Never receive anything unless it quickens in your spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is present here. And he will quicken your spirit. And this is a seed that will harvest victory in your life. That's his intent. Revelation 3 and 5 says, "The one who conquers will be clothed thus with white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." That's Jesus speaking about you who conquer. If you could write anything down first, I'd like you to write this down concerning faith. Faith transfers the life of Jesus to you in order to execute the will of the Father through you. Faith transfers the life of Jesus to you in order to execute the will of the Father through you. Listen to Revelations 3 and 21. "The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." And again, in Revelations 2 and 26, "The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him, I will give authority over the nations. When the Bible says conquer, it's essentially what happens when victory is met. Victory is essentially the fruit that God has created for you to eat. If you have any vision in your life that is less than victory, no, it's not from God. That vision doesn't belong to God, and it doesn't belong to you from God. Why hold on to it? My goal is to make this so plain that you can't miss it. The Bible says it is to God to give each man his work. God has given me my work. He's given Billy Graham his work. His work is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, that folks would confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God told me that my work is to stand on their shoulders. And I'm telling you, there was a time I said to Pastor Fred, who is our pastor and our spiritual father, I said, Pastor Fred, what's my role in the church? And he says, Ralph, just be patient. God will show you. I said, Pastor Fred, but I'm sitting around in the church. I feel like I'm doing this. And one Sunday I came to him. I would typically leave on Sundays and fly out Thursdays, come back on Fridays or Thursday nights. And then I would be gone for most of the week, come home, go to church, and go start the week all over again. But I didn't feel like I was really that plugged in to really to help and do things and be a part of the movement of the church. And this one Sunday, I come to Pastor Fred after church. I said, Pastor Fred, I got it. He says, you got what, Ralph? I said, I know what I'm supposed to do. He says, well, what's that, Ralph? I was asked to be on the tape ministry so I could take the messages and tape them. And he looked at me and he says, son, he says, that is not your calling. And I said, but Fred, I got something to do. He says, be patient, son. And I love Pastor Fred because he actually had faith. He saw that God was doing something in my heart. And it has been 17 years in the making what God has been doing in my heart. God told me that my work is to reveal the bride out of the church. My work is to reveal the bride out of the church. I'm going to make it crystal to you. Moses came, announced God's will to bring them to the promised land. And millions of them said, let's do it. After the 10 plagues, they all marched out of Egypt. But being out of Egypt does not take you to the promised land. In other words, because you came out of Egypt does not mean you're in the promised land. Listen, because you showed up for church today doesn't mean you're in the promised land. You see, the promised land process is two steps. You have to come out of Egypt. That was the first baptism. What sea was that they crossed? Anybody know? The Red Sea. But then there was a second baptism. They couldn't get to the promised land until they went through the second baptism. What was the second baptism? Crossing over the Jordan is the second baptism. And so is it with us today. Coming to the church is getting out of the world. But you have to get the world out of you. That's the second baptism. What God has done masterfully to get the people out of Egypt was send a man. And what he's done masterfully to get the Egypt out of people was send a voice. I command blind eyes open in Jesus' name. I command ears open in Jesus' name. If you come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, who in here has ever heard someone stand in front of the church and say, I'm only human. Nobody's perfect. We are sinners. We're a wretch. There's nothing good in my flesh. We could never fulfill the law until we die and get our pie up in the sky in the high and by. And I say, where does it say that in the scriptures? Write this down. Never change your confession to fit your tragedy. Deuteronomy chapter 30 says, because they said, Moses, how do we obey the law? Moses said in verse 11, obeying these commandments is not something beyond your strength and reach. For these laws are not in the far heavens, so distant that you can't hear or obey them, or with no one to bring them down to you. Nor are they beyond the ocean so far that no one can bring you their message. But they are very close at hand, in your hearts and on your lips, so that you can obey them. Can I make it more relevant to you? Can I spell it another way? In the New Testament? Go with me to Romans in chapter 10. Verse 5 says in chapter 10, for Moses wrote that if a person could be perfectly good and hold out against temptation all his life and never sins once, only then could he be pardoned and saved. But the salvation that comes through faith says you don't need to search the heavens to find Christ and bring him down to help you, and you don't need to go among the dead to bring Christ back to life again, for salvation comes from trusting Christ, which is what we preached already, within easy reach of each of you. In fact, it is as near as your own hearts and mouths. For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Do you ever hear that before? How is it then, how can you stand up and confess the opposite and say you're saved? We all know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is an inside job. We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of confession. It's a gospel of profession. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 51, verse number 16. This is a story of how, not a story, it's a real life reality and truth of what happened in times ago with the people that God has called his own, the Israelites, but they turned their back on him. But then he says, in verse number 16, he says, I'm here to rescue. And how he does it is, I have put my words in your mouth and hidden you safe within my hand. I planted the stars in place and molded all the earth. I am the one who says to Israel, you are mine. When God rescues a person, he puts his words in their mouth. Go with me to Psalms chapter 19. Say amen when you're there. Verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's there because you know that scripture. I've been there, done that. I know that, Ralph. All right, go with me to Genesis in chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter 3, it was at the height of what was happening in the garden with Adam and Eve and how they were, quote-unquote, tempted by the serpent. And then they had this discourse back and forth. And then verse 7 says, and as they ate it, suddenly they became aware of their nakedness and were embraced, so they strung fig leaves together to cover themselves around the hips. And then verse 9 says, that evening they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. King James Version says, and the voice of the Lord went walking. In other words, God and his voice are one. He went walking because he was booted out of the heart of Adam and Eve. Jesus said it this way, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Revelation 3 and 20 says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock if anyone lets me in. That means that he was out. So Adam and Eve divorced God. So God had no, his voice had to walk away. He had no place in them any longer. Go with me to, I'm going to share a story. Go with me to Matthew in chapter 25. I want to ask, how am I doing with this? Is this okay? Right. In the beginning of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus starts talking about the kingdom of heaven. His message, his reason for coming to the earth was for the kingdom of heaven. That's it. That's the only thing he preached about, was the kingdom of heaven. But he gives this analogy. He says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated, This is verse 1. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So first of all, this isn't about the brides. It's about the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Just so you're clear on that. And then it says, verse 2, but only 5 of them were wise enough to fill their lamps with oil, while the other 5 were foolish and forgot. Circle that word, forgot. Verse 5, so when the bridegroom was delayed, they lay down to rest until midnight, when they were roused by the shout, "The bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him." All the girls jumped up and trimmed their lamps. When the 5 who had any oil hadn't any oil, begged the others to share them, for their lamps were going out. But the others replied, "We haven't enough. Go instead to the shops and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went and with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 returned, they stood outside calling, "Sir, open the door for us." Verse 12, but he called back, "Go away, it's too late!" Explanation point. And verse 13, so stay awake and be prepared, for you don't know when the date or moment of my return. We could wrestle back and forth and say, well, what is the oil and what is the lamp? What this is really talking about is not about the oil and it's about the lamp. It's really about what's happening in between your ears. It's what's happening in between your ears. It's what's happening in your heart. It says it really clear. It says, while the other 5 were foolish. Why were they foolish? Because they forgot. Forgetting makes you foolish. Forgetting what? Go with me to Psalms in chapter 119. I want to show you something with you. This is precious. Because it talked about the lamp and it talked about the light. Psalms chapter 119, and look at this. Verse 24. Your laws are both my light and my counselors. So now it says they trim their lights to see him. That means that they really refine their knowledge. You know, a lot of people have knowledge, but not everybody has accurate knowledge. In other words, what is this all about, this light business? It's really reflecting to his commands. If you go further, the word of God is a light. If you check out Psalms 119, 105, it says, it's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But notice chapter 119, verse 11, it says, I hide the word of God in my heart that it may not sin against him. The Bible says, and Luke, I believe it's 13 and 41, it says, the eye of a body is the lamp. Let me hear you say this. Victory is all mine. It always was. And by God, it always will be. How's that sound? Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26. We're going to read 26 and 27. This scripture says, but those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish. So we got back to, he says, the 5 of them were foolish because they forgot. They were foolish because they forgot. They were foolish because they forgot. That's in Matthew chapter 25. And then verse number 4, they were foolish because they forgot. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26 and 27 says, but those who hear my instructions and ignore them or forget them are foolish. Like a man who builds his house on sand, for when the rain and floods come, a storm wind beats against the house, it will fall with a mighty crash. This is pretty interesting that This term foolish. Jesus, listen to this. It's like he rose from the dead, and that very day, he calls someone foolish. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25 and 26. Luke chapter 24, verse 25 and 26. Then this is when he was walking with Cleopas and the others. And they were like, man, haven't you heard? Where have you been? There was this man that happened. What man? What happened there? This, that, and the other. And he was recounting everything, but they didn't believe it. It was like it was news to them. But this is what Jesus says. Then Jesus says, you are such foolish, foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Explanation point. Wasn't it clearly predicted that by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time in glory? The cost of your victory is your voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. That means that his sheep never forget his voice. That means his voice is God's command. They know the command of God. His sheep know the command of God. And I'm going to break it down to you so that you get it. You can't miss this. Even if you're a child, you can't miss it. It's so plain. You see, because what happened is what God is saying to his church is that you have to change the fountain that you're drinking from in order to walk in the way of God.
Amen.
Stop drinking from the wrong fountain. I'm going to explain it to you. Go with me to Psalms chapter 36, and let's read verse 9. I'm speaking to your spirit, but I pray that a supernatural thirst comes to you to hear this, because I'm telling you, if you're not mindful, you could be a foolish virgin in the kingdom of heaven. That means that there are people in the kingdom of heaven that don't know the word of God. There are people in the kingdom of heaven who are so-called Christians, but don't study the word of God. That don't even hear the word. Like this message, they wouldn't even hear it. That's how, you know what the Bible says? It's, he says, you don't know how your word, that your message that you're giving is the word of God? Is preach it to those that don't care about God. They won't hear it. They'll just run away. That's how you know you got the real deal going. Okay. I mean, this is what it says in 1 John chapter 4. It says it. That's how you know you have the word of God. Psalms 36, listen, we have to stop drinking from the wrong fountain. This is what God says in verse 9. For you are the fountain of life. Our light is from your light. The King James Version says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. That's our light. Now, write this down. You ready? Faith cometh by hearing. Just write it down. You got it? Faith cometh by hearing. To hear is to see. In other words, when you hear the word, do you get the picture? Pastor Rhonda, give me a high five. I love what you did with the communion today. Because she says, I had this video, and it's a little longer, but then it's really graphic. It's even rated R. And it's like, you can't show that because you don't, not in this setting, but I tell you what, let me read the word and see if you catch the picture. Didn't you say that? See, the master stroke in life is to hear the word and catch the picture, right? Now write this down. To hear is to see, and to see is to do. When Jesus says, I do what I see my Father doing, Jesus heard the word, saw the picture, and said, ah, now I know what to do. It's crystal clear. You know how they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. If you gaze at the picture, you get a major download. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish. I'm going to break it down to you so it's crystal. You asked every Christian, who say they're a Christian? You believe in Jesus? Yeah. Great. I'd like to do that too. How do you do that? Can you show me how to believe? First, brother, you got to pray about it. And then you have to wait on the Lord. Then you fast for about 3 days. Then you kind of like do this and do that. But I say, well, let me ask you another question. Hold on to that thought for a minute. I really, really got to go to the bathroom. Can you show me how to do that? And he said, yeah, just go down the corner, make a left, and there's a right hand side. And I go, well, what gives? Why is it that when I ask for things like, of the world, like I really got to go to the bathroom, you get the picture where the bathroom is, you just tell me where to go. But when I tell you something about heaven, you know, like how do I believe, It's like mumbo jumbo. It's like who's on first base, what's on second. You see, believing is a function of your eyes. Two verses before that, John chapter 3, verse 14 says, unless the Son of Man be lifted up like the serpent in the desert. You can't believe in something you're not looking at. Do you understand that meditating on the Word of God is looking at the Word of God? There's a place to meditate long enough you see the actual picture. And if you're meditating and you don't see the picture, check your intent. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It divides asunder both bone and marrow and separates even the thought from the intent of a man's heart. Go away, for I've never known you. The cost of your victory is your voice. Go with me to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. This is how you do it. The Bible says they overcame. Who are they talking about, they? Okay, now watch this. Listen to me. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he took the whole of them and brought them into the promised land. But in a new covenant, it's not happening that way. Do you understand that he sent the spies out to come back with a report? And the confession of the 10 held all the 12 and the whole nation back for a generation. Did you hear me? But in a new covenant, it's whosoever will. Let the dead bury the dead. My mother, brother, and sister are those who do the will of my Father. End of story, period. So, when it says they overcame, who are they talking about? Listen, speak for yourself. It's talking about me. Let me hear you say that. Don't concern with you. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Just declare it's talking about me. And those that are on the left and the right, you say, you go to the market, get your own confession. But this is talking about me. So it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Now listen to this. The blood of the Lamb, Leviticus chapter 5 says that the life is in the blood. So it's saying that they overcame by the life of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Jesus says, take courage, for I have overcome the world. Now watch this. My great-grandfather taught me, he said, Ralph, what I eat don't make you go to the bathroom. But Jesus says, take courage, for I have overcome the world, as to say that your victory is relevant for me. Ah, that's not how it typically works in the natural. So are you telling me there's some supernatural way for your victory to be my victory? Oh, I'm interested. I'm all ears, Lord. Now listen, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, right? The word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. The word of their testimony is, simply put, called faith. It is their confession about the effect of the blood of the Lamb and its efficaciousness in their life, in their situation, in their circumstance. When they pronounced our daughter dead, I said, my relationship with you, Father, is needing you here and now. And God showed up. Every baby has to do its own crying. Will you cry out to the Lord for you? Will you establish relationship that works? Do you know the Bible talks about, it says this, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be healed, saved, delivered, and set free. Well, get this. You call upon the name of the Lord, anything happen? If it didn't, check your relationship. Because the days of fake it till you make it and never do are over when it comes to heaven. I'm saying heaven as in now. So God allows us to overcome by our confession. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 1, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that means faith is the substance. The substance in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, God, by his word, he framed the world. The Bible says in John chapter 1, right around verse 5, it says that there was nothing that could be made without the word or command of God. The command of God is the word of God. Jesus says, my word is life and spirit. So in his word is his life. So when you confess his word, you are manifesting his life in your situation. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape. The way to escape is, guess who? The life of Jesus. First Peter 1:7. Though the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perished, though it be tried by fire, might it be found in appearing in the honor of what? The appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, appearing. He shows up. You can see him. He doesn't just show up empty-handed. He shows up with the whole heavenly host to resolve the situation at hand. If you don't believe me, ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He showed up in the midst of the fire. There was one like an angel in the midst of the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and they were well kept in the fire. As a matter of fact, it was revealed to the world that the safest place for those belonging to him is in the midst of the fire. Because anyone that comes to that fire, heated seven times hotter, burn up. So the cost of your victory is your voice. Will you give your voice up and take on his voice? Like, I'm talking to you right now. You see Ralph. Yeah, I know. Ralph, my wife said, yeah, I've been with him 35 years. I know. Seth is saying, Solomon is saying, yeah, that's dad. You know, and you look at me and you hear my voice. It sounds just like me. Like, but is it really only me?
No.
Come on. The Bible says no man can see God and live. You ready? But you could hear him and see me and live. And increase. And prosper. And walk on water. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You ready? And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, what could that possibly mean? The cost of not believing is your death. Mark, I'll read these over because we're pretty much out of time here, but just give you this to do some homework on. Mark chapter 5, verse 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler, unto the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He, many cases, Jesus says, just believe. The work, what is the work of the disciple? He says, believe. Only believe. That means that make him your all in all. Make him your first and only meditation. And God, as it says in Matthew 6 and 33, will give you everything else. But what goes on between your ears? Do you know your thoughts matter? God told me at the beginning of this year, he said, Ralph, if you don't want the thing in your life, don't take the thought that produces the thing in your life. Jesus says in the Bible often, take no thought. Because thoughts are more real than the thing that produces the thought, that's produced from the thought. I can touch this podium, but the thought of this podium is more real than the feeling of this podium with my hand. Thoughts are potent. They're powerful. That's why the Bible says, let the words of your mouth and the secret thoughts of your mind be God's words in your mouth and God's secret thoughts in your mind. That's why he gives you a spirit, so you can have access to his thoughts. And I said, well, God, how do I have access to your thoughts? He says, who can know the mind of the man less the spirit of the man within him? I said, oh. He says, Ralph, the very spirit that rose my son from the dead abides in you. But then he said, Ralph, ready? I said, yes, Father. He says, honor is the key to access. He says, if you don't honor my spirit, you will have no access to my spirit. He said, Ralph, are you grieving my spirit? And I pray that you are hearing this. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is an inside job. And you are the only heaven that God ever needs. Just always see yourself that way. Because he leaves the 99 for you. And you say, today I will love you, Father, with my whole heart. Today I will honor you in every way. Today. But How do you do that with thoughts? How do you honor God with your thoughts? I mean, that's kind of hard stuff. This is what God told me. He said, Ralph, this is how you master your thoughts. He said, Ralph, where your eyes go, your thoughts flow. Keep your eyes on me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know that one? The answer to this is Jesus. It's always been Jesus. There's more I can share, but we're pretty much out of time. Is this helping you? Is this a blessing to you? I'm just curious. Are you catching anything with this? Will you, Sister Kathy, can you turn the computer on? I would just ask if we can end up with a song. Do you see? And while she's pulling that up, she's going to read a couple scriptures. Having the best attitude before God. It says, and they love not their lives unto the death. Jesus says, anyone who puts their hand on a plow and looks back is not worthy to be my disciple. We have to be ready and willing to give Jesus everything, all the time, in every way. This is what Jesus said. He said, lose your life for me and gain my life for you. Did you catch that? Jesus says, lose your life for the sake of Jesus and gain his life for you. The Bible says it like that in 2 Corinthians verse 8 and 9. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. In other words, the life of Jesus is really your life, disguised to those that don't know him. But once you do know him, you can't know someone you don't look at. Put your eyes on him. Put Jesus in your eyes. Never take him out. And he will reveal more to you. Who knows this song? This is a precious song. Because the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is what you believe feels like. That means that you're looking at it so intently that you can start feeling it. You get with great anticipation. Oh my gosh, oh, I see it. Oh, I can feel it. You see? And then it starts to manifest itself. So would you join me in singing this song? It's called, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Stand with me as we do this. And Sister Kathy, if you could just afford as we go forward, okay? All right, ready? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, that righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. In him my righteousness alone,
faultless to stand on for the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Father God, I thank you for your love and life. I thank you, Father, for making your love radiate through this message into the hearts that belong to you. Father God, let it lift them up. Let it produce a promotion. Let it produce abundance in their life today by wholly leaning on your name, by trusting in the rock, and holding on to your voice, that they have to do nothing but speak, and you make everything come to pass by the word of their testimony, and they just surrender everything to you, Father God. I thank you for the privilege to be able to share this message. Father, I thank you for the facility of this building to make it available for us all to come together. I thank you for the agreement of Pastor Rhonda and Brother Gary and all of us to just come together consistently just to learn and grow in your love and the depth of your love. Father, we just love you. We honor you. We praise you above all. Bless those that are yours. Bless them mightily even now. Let their minds be clear, Lord, that your word is theirs and to speak for it in their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
I love you guys.